Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Matt, it's great to be home, and always good to be here. You know, I was shopping the other day, I think Friday, because we'd been gone and there was nothing in the house, so I went and shopped. And while I was doing that, I happened to have on a T-shirt that's talked about the Green Bay Packers. Okay? Now, a lady walked up to me and goes, "Oh, true story, you must be from Illinois." And I'm thinking, "Wow, how'd you know?" She goes, "Well, everybody in Illinois doesn't have a team there, so they have to wear another shirt." Okay, just saying. We've been in a series that we've entitled, "What to Do When." And we've looked at several different circumstances of what did we do when. And this is going to be the last of that series. And this is just kind of a general one that I want to use to kind of review a little bit, but to also say, well, you haven't addressed my issue. Well, we're going to address it today. We're going to talk about what to do when you don't know what to do. What do you do? There is a great chapter in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I love the chapter. I've spoken from it before because there's just so much there that you could talk about for a long, long time. And we're going to look at that today and see what the children of Israel did with King Jehoshaphat and how they handled a situation that was really just desperate. We're introduced to it in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the armies of the Moabites and the Amorites and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazazon Tamar," and this was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. What's the first thing you do? You turn to God. Now, we understand something here. In this day and time, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was there in the temple, wasn't it? So that's why they gathered there. However, today, you and I have this treasure in jars of clay, the presence of God. And so when we begin this story, the first thing they do is go to God. That's what you and I do as well. And then they begin to take some steps. Let's look at them. The first one, be adamant about God's ability. Be adamant about God's ability. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you." Verse 8, "Your people settled here, built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we're faced with calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us." Now notice what he believed. God, you're powerful, and nothing can stand against you. God, whatever I'm up against today, let's make one thing clear of what I believe. I know that you're greater than any problem I have. That whatever I'm facing, you're bigger than that. Now, please understand something. One of two things God will do for you in the midst of your problems. One, he will either rescue you from the problem, or two, he will give you what you need to get through the problem. Our problem is we always want to choose one. God, just take it away. Make the army disappear. Make the problem go away. Just get rid of it. However, I don't know about you, but what I found in my life, most of the time God uses two. He gives me what I need to get through it. He gives me the strength that I need to handle it. And God is able to help us, and there is nothing too big for him. One of the reasons we come and we take some time singing and giving praise and honor to God is because it helps us make God bigger. Now here's something you need to know. You can never make God too big. God's always bigger than you can imagine. And so the first step is, God, you are able to do this and nothing can stand against you. God, I don't doubt your power. God, I don't doubt your ability. You're able to do this. That's where you begin, making that statement of declaration of saying, God is greater. Second, admit that you do not have the answer. I think this is perhaps one of our hardest ones, because many times if we don't have an answer, we make one up, don't we? And so I want an answer. You know, notice 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. You see, we want an answer. You go to a doctor. Doctor, what's wrong? And the doctor goes, I don't know. Well, what kind of doctor are you? You should know everything. I want another doctor. Or, well, you don't know, but I'll Google it. They'll tell me. You know, something will tell me what's wrong. I want an answer. And if we don't have one, we make one up and we just search for an answer. We don't like being told I don't know. But before God's going to be able to help you, you're going to have to admit you don't have the answer. It's not that you don't have all the answers. You don't have many answers. And when you and I face life, there's a lot of things in life we don't have an answer for. And we come to that place where we recognize God is greater and God is able and I'm not. God, I don't have a solution. God, I don't know what to do. And God goes, good, I'm glad we've got that taken care of. I'm glad you're finally willing to admit you're clueless. And before God can help you, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way, aren't you? And many times we put ourselves in the way because we try to create our own scenarios. We worry, we fret, we come to that place, well, maybe I can do this, and maybe I can do this, and maybe I can do this. And no, no, no. It's coming to a place just like Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel did. God, here we are. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. I'm not looking anywhere else. God, you're it. I know who you are. I know what you're about. I know you have the ability to deal with this, and I don't. I think this is one of the hardest things for us, is just coming to a place where I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. But that's where they came. Thirdly, do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. One of the biggest battles you're going to face in the midst of the scenarios of life is not to have fear. Over and over again, all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, we are told to battle against and not give in to fear. Fear will keep you from trusting God. Discouragement will cause you to give up and quit. Both of those are the enemies you're going to have to deal with in the midst of a circumstance and situation that you don't have an answer for. Okay, I don't have the answer, but I don't need to be afraid. And I don't need to be discouraged about this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. He said, the children of Israel had all gathered before the temple. They were there seeking God, and God spoke to someone, and they spoke up and said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them, and you will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeriel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Repeat it. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. How would you like it when you're asking God what to do about your problem, you don't know what to do about, and all he tells you is, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've got it in control. Don't be discouraged. It's okay. That wouldn't fly with us, would it? And yet that's exactly what God tells them. He doesn't tell them any solution other than, don't worry. Your battle is to not worry and not be afraid and not be discouraged. That's the battle. But then notice something else he tells them. Look, I'm not going to wave the magic wand and just make it all go away. You're going to have to get dressed and you're going to have to go out to battle. You don't get just to sit back. You don't get to stay home. Get dressed and go out to battle. They had to do their part, didn't they? God says, look, you don't need to be afraid about this. You don't need to be discouraged by this. Put on the armor. Go out to war. And then the battle is not yours. It's God's. But God, I want to do something. Okay, here's what you do. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Put on the armor. Now, we have a New Testament reference to this for us that applies today. Ephesians 6:10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. When you read this whole passage about the armor, it tells you what it is. It says, go put it all on and then stand. Hold on, I've got it on. Do something. We want to do something, don't we? We don't care if it's right or not. We just want to do something. Put on the battle, put on the armor, stand, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Oh, Pastor, I'm really glad I came today. That really helps me a lot. You see, we complicate things, don't we? God's able. God's in control. I don't know what to do. I don't have to be afraid. That goes against every fiber of our being, doesn't it? But that's the struggle. You and I have to understand the battle is God's, not ours. And the moment you think it's your fight, you're going to lose. The moment you realize you can't win this unless God fights, you're in the right place. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm standing firm in the armor of God, and it's your fight, and you'll take care of me. All right, next, allow your faith to be in control. Allow your faith to be in control. Chapter 20, verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." For us today, believe in his word, and you will succeed. You and I come to the place where, what's he say? Just believe. Believe God's word. Believe what it says. Now you believe something when you act like it, don't you? When you act on it. Belief doesn't happen until you take action. Faith without works is dead. So you and I have to be willing to allow our faith to help us get dressed for battle, to go out, to not be afraid, discouraged, confident that God is going to help us. Confident in God alone. We always want to have a backup plan. We always want something to fall back on. Well, I'll try this, but God, what if it doesn't work? And God, I'll do this, but you know, I'll give you to 3 o'clock, and if it's not gone by then, I'm going to have to do something. You know, I'm on a deadline here, and I've got to get this done. And we just kind of hurry along, and we get impatient, and we begin to worry ourselves, and we begin to get afraid, and we get discouraged. God, why isn't this happening? Why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this going on? God says, look, get dressed and stand in faith. believing what I've said. James 1:5 puts it this way. If you need wisdom, ask our stingy God. No, generous God. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. I mentioned the problem with being afraid and discouraged. Here's another big problem for us. We believe in God. Hear me. We just don't believe in God alone. We add a little something to it. Well, I believe in God, but you know, over here, you know, Oprah's got an answer for me. Dr. Phil will say, you know, here's what they said. Here's what I read. Here's what my friend says. Here's what my carnal nature says. And we allow those things. And the Bible says, you know what? If you've got two options here and you've taken a little of this and a little of this, you're never going to win the battle. You're never going to be able to overcome what you're up against. Faith has to be in control. And your faith can only be in God, him alone, and no one else. God, this battle is yours. God, I'm dressed. I know who you are. I know what you're able to do. God, I don't need to be afraid in this. God, I am going to stand firm because your word tells me you will take care of me. You will work everything out for my good. You will help me. You will not fail me. You will not abandon me. I'm in. That's a struggle for us, isn't it? Then you need to give your attention to God's character. Give your attention to God's character. Verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 20. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Now stop there for a moment. If this was me and I'm going out to fight that army, I don't want to make a lot of noise. I want to do the stealth thing. I don't want them to know where I'm at. What do? They start singing. You see, when we come into a service, we sing. Why? Singing is declaring God's greatness, giving attention to his character. This morning, what did we sing? His love never fails. That's the character of God. God always loves you. God never does anything to harm you. God is good all the time. And we declare that. You give attention to God's character. You don't give attention to your problem. You don't ignore it. You don't pretend like, oh, just don't confess that. Don't act like it even exists. Well, it does, honey. And you just got to admit it. But you don't need to focus on it. You can focus on God. Give him your attention. Verse 22, at the very moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Wow. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord. Your battle, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Put on the armor. And believe in God and who he is and let your faith stand strong. God's character is always the same all the time. God never changes. Psalm 91 verse 2, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. Boy, is that a great verse. Psalm 138, verse 7, though I'm surrounded by many troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. God, I trust in you. God, I look to you. The hills where my help comes from, it's you. And so what I focus on is the character of God. God, you're in this with me. God, you'll fight for me. God, you'll help me. God, you'll direct me. God, you'll protect me. God, you love me. You care about me. You have great plans for me. You have a purpose for my life. God, I'm all in. I'm into you. You will direct my steps. That's what you do when you don't know what to do. Final thing, accept the peace that God gives. Accept the peace that God gives. Verse 26, on the fourth day after that battle, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps and lyres and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. And when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're up against. But God wants to give you rest on every side. God's peace is yours now. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If you're troubled and afraid, you won't have peace, will you? If you're troubled and afraid, your faith is going to waver, isn't it? God will give you rest. I got great news for you today. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what battle you're up against. But I do know this. This moment, right now, God wants to give you peace. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know how big a battle this is. You don't know what's at stake here. You don't know what I could lose. You don't know how many times I've had to deal with this. Pastor, you just don't know. Okay, I don't. But I do know this. The God that I serve is a great God, and he is able to do what I can't. And often I don't know what to do, but he's got everything in control. And I choose to trust him and believe in him and put my faith in him. And I will dress in the armor that he gives to me, but I will look to him for help, for it's his battle and not mine. And I get to stand in peace because I trust God. And God is faithful. So this morning, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You turn to God. You put into play what we've talked about this morning, and God will help you.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.